You are now listening to the Half Right Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @halfright_pod and Instagram at the Half Right Podcast. Most importantly, feel free to share with a friend and please subscribe. Now, without further ado, let's get into this week's episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Half Right Podcast. We are back. I am joined by my co-host, my sister, Lakia, back to talk all things WWE. And we got four shows to talk about. What did you think about wrestling over these past 4 days?
Lakia? It's been exciting, but I mean, there's been a moment that has just made everything much better. So we'll get to that.
Yes, we're going to get to that. And everybody knows I am very excited. All is right with the world, but we're going to talk about that a little later.
So we're going to start off with just going over TakeOver real quick. And as far as the championship matches, we had the Street Profits beat the Undisputed Era, which I was expecting that. Io Shirai beat Candice LeRae. And there was a Matt Riddle and Killian Dane brawl that happened. The North American Championship, Velveteen defeated both Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong. He had pinned Pete Dunne to retain his title. The Women's Championship, Shayna Baszler defeated Mia Yim. She's still champ. And then the 2 out of 3 falls match, Adam Cole, the champ, defeated Johnny Gargano 2-1 to retain the title. Fall 1 being a wrestling match, Fall 2 being a street fight, and Fall 3 being a steel cage weapons match, which was William Regal's twist to the match. So, his stipulation, I should say. All right, Alfonso, what was your favorite match?
That main event. I mean, I really like Io Shirai, and Candice LeRae. I was a fan of that match. I think that was a better match than the actual women's title match.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like with these takeovers, we've seen so much, and it's like, how do you match what's been done? You get what I'm saying?
The bar is set so high.
Yeah,
right.
The bar is set so high that, like, most people that I talk to and most NXT fans are like, all right, yeah, this was a B-plus show. It was good, you know? We had the main event was amazing, but we've seen Gargano and Cole fight before. It's just like the bar for NXT takeovers is set so high,
right,
that I feel like even when it's a decent show, we feel like they underdelivered. Like the Street Profits versus, you know, Fish and O'Reilly. I feel like it was a good match, but like I've seen better tag matches on TakeOver.
Right.
You know, the women's match, the Mia Yim versus Shayna Baszler match, that doesn't even compare to some of the women's matches I feel like we've seen on TakeOver. So it's like the bar is so high, like you said, and it's hard to really keep up with what's been done in the past. Like, and that's why you go into TakeOver with such big expectations. And what I heard from Matt Morgan on Wrestling Inc. is something that he does is he judges it against like a regular episode of Raw or SmackDown, because you can't really judge it against other takeovers because it's just unfair.
Right.
Because the bar's been set so high and there's been so many great takeovers. So that was my take on TakeOver. I remember I called you before the show and I wanted to change my picks to all Undisputed Era. I'm happy I never tweeted that. I think what I got out of this is Alfonso needs to pay more attention to NXT, and that's what I will do going forward because I was dead wrong on a lot of my picks. I think almost all of them.
No. This is the one where we actually agreed on everything. I think the split decision one was Adam Cole and Gargano. This was the one where we agreed. We were right.
I also believe I took Mia Yim, though. You didn't take her, right?
I didn't take Mia. I said Shayna was going to win.
Yeah.
I think that's the one where we were split on that one, too. But this one where we were actually, when we did our predictions, we actually were kind of on the same page with this one. My favorite match, honestly, I understand what you're saying about comparing the tag team championship match. Comparing in general to previous takeovers, but I was impressed with the Street Profits because the Street Profits is the kind of tag team that would be seen of like as a joke, especially with everything that they've been doing behind the scenes. But them going up against the Undisputed Era, I would say that I was actually entertained and impressed with their wrestling ability, because Montez Ford is crazy in the ring.
Montez Ford is a beast.
He's crazy.
Montez Ford is a freak of nature.
But I mean, Dawkins, opinion, even though Dawkins gives me a D'Lo Brown kind of feel, but Dawkins too in the ring, like I was, and Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, they're both amazing in their own right. But I was very like, Montez Ford really had my, he caught my attention during this takeover. But I mean, the last match was the last match, the main event, and it was definitely a main event, especially with all the takeovers that Gargano has been in, and they did have the curtain call for Gargano, so it's going to be interesting to see where he goes from here with him.
Yeah, we didn't see him. Yeah,
main roster.
Yeah, we didn't see him show up this week though, so we'll see what happens. Yeah,
we'll see, but he did have his curtain call.
But I don't know. Do you agree with this? I feel as though Gargano's had multiple curtain calls. I feel like every NXT show that he loses, Candice LeRae is coming to help him out of the ring, and the crowd is chanting, "Thank you, John." Like, you get what I'm saying?
I don't know. This one, I feel like it's official though, because William Regal came out. I don't remember William coming out with the other ones.
Yeah, I think this is official, but I'm just scared for a guy like Gargano on the main roster, bro. He can get lost in the sauce.
Someone like Ricochet, look at what's happening with Alistair.
Yeah.
You know, I'm afraid for Adam Cole to come to the main roster, to be completely honest.
I'm afraid for Vince to get his hands on any NXT guys, and we're gonna talk about that a little later in the show too. But overall, what would you get if you have a grade, what would you give this NXT takeover?
I'd give it a solid B plus.
I'm going to go a little bit lower. I'm going to go a solid B. I'm not going to give it a plus. It was a good takeover.
I'm just giving it a plus because someone caught my attention, and that was the tag team championship match. That was actually my favorite one.
A lot of people loved that match. I wasn't really – it was decent to me. That's just my opinion. I love the Street Profits, though, one of my favorite tag teams in all of WWE.
I would like to say that I would like to see what the Street Profits would do with the Usos. I think it would just be absolute magic on the mic.
Yes, it would be really, really good. It would. Them against anybody, like the New Day, anybody who's fire on the mic, I feel like the Street Profits can hang with them. So, but, you know, that was
the next takeover is going to be in November. What is that, Survivor Series, Takeover War Games?
I think that's the War Games,
so that's going to be a good one. That's going to be a good one.
Yeah. So overall, we like takeover.
It gets a B range.
B range. Now let's move on to the main event. Sunday WWE SummerSlam.
All right. So moving on to SummerSlam, we'll go match by match. The kickoff show, we had the Cruiserweight Championship match. Drew Gulak defeated Oney Lorcan, which I think we said that Drew Gulak would retain. I'm going to be honest, I didn't watch the pre-show really. Buddy Murphy beat Apollo Crews, but then via disqualification, because he got beat up. We'll get to that whole situation. Edge returned to silence Elias, and everybody was losing their shit because Edge speared Elias.
That is the first spear we've seen from Edge in like 8 years. He hasn't got physical since he announced his retirement.
So, like, I mean, that was good. He came out no talking.
I was like, did he really just spear Elias? And I was watching it with two of my close friends, and, you know, they're not really into wrestling. They think wrestling's, you know, a lot of non-wrestling fans don't understand wrestling fans. But they knew who Edge was because they kind of grew up watching. And then seeing Edge hit that spear, they're like, he just hit a spear. Why are you freaking out? And I'm like, because we haven't seen Edge do a spear in years.
And there's been multiple times in the ring when someone's like called him out that he could hit a spear one time. So for him to hit it on Elias, interesting. I'm not going to say this is a victory lap for him to come back to the ring, but it was good to see him hit that spear.
Edge will never wrestle again, but I agree with you. It was good to see him hit that spear.
It's kind of like Shawn Michaels hitting that super kick. It's like when you do
it. Yeah, it never gets old. You know,
I can see you do it all the time. And then the last match that we had in the pre-show, which I didn't even know was happening, was Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, the women's tag team champions, which they had won on SmackDown. They defeated the previous champion. So
they won them on Raw.
I'm sorry, Raw. My bad. Anyway, so they had won against the Iconics. So it was the Iconics getting a rematch, even though I didn't think they did rematches anymore, like automatic. But the Iconics lost.
They do when they want to, you know.
Yeah, so the Iconics.
WWE logic.
The Iconics lost, so Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross are still champs. I will say this, when they became champions, I did tweet that we're going to be seeing more of the Women's Tag Team Championship because they love Alexa. Vince loves Alexa. Alexa's going to be on TV. So this is giving her a break from having the big title picture to the, you know, and it's also going to give a little, you know, solidification to the Women's Tag Team division because it's been, we just had this one and we're going to get to the next tag team defense that they had this week a little bit later on. But I like it. I would like for them to have some different kind of music. But I know they're going to come out to Alexa's. So we'll just deal with
Alexa,
that.
Alexa's the star. That.
But shout out to Nikki Cross for getting a chance and an opportunity. Shout out to her.
Yes. 100%. I feel like this match, you know, it was just there to be there to get the titles on the show. It was really nothing special.
Right.
Let's talk about the glitches with WWE Network. It was so bad, especially when I was watching the pre-show. Like, this new WWE Network.
So for those that don't know, let's preface that. For those that don't know, WWE recently updated their WWE Network, saying it's going to be a better user experience. They basically logged everybody out. You had to log back in. They're also making it so that it's kind of like Netflix, to where you can't have as many devices as you had before. It was usually like you could have like 5 people watching it, share the password, whatever. But now it's like a glitch now of you're streaming on too many devices. That's what happened to me. You personally had a glitch. I've seen people on Twitter tweeting about how it was very, very glitchy during the pre-show. So, I mean, the interface of WWE Network, I actually don't mind it. I think it is a little bit better organized, but
yes, it's beautiful. The setup and the layout is amazing.
But what they did to that in fixing it, you know, it's kind of like, all right, we have that glitch, and that was kind of expected to happen. You know, I didn't expect it to happen for SummerSlam though, because we had TakeOver and it was working fine.
I didn't have any issues with TakeOver either.
But there was, like, times where it was, like, repeating itself in the main show, and then it was, like a jump screen, and it was just... But I do like the interface of WWE Network, so hopefully, you know, they'll tweak some things. It's kind of like when WWE Network first came to be, how they had to tweak some things, so hopefully they'll do that and get it straightened out. I'm pretty sure they will, but for now, you know, we'll deal. But getting to the main card, I know we usually save the championship matches for last, but the way that CBS Sports has this set up is that they have it match by match. And the match that opened up the show was a championship match.
Yes.
And for the first time in a long time when it comes to a pay-per-view, I'm going to say this now. I like the flow that they had of the show. This was the first pay-per-view in a long time since Mania. No, nothing can top us. Top Mania for me this year as far as pay-per-views because we were there. But I will say as far as the flow of the show and things just moving right, this was a good one. I think also because they had more than one women's match on the card, I'm excluding the pre-show, but between having both the women's championship matches, then you had the match with Charlotte and Trish, that really helped to even out the flow. So the Raw championship was Becky Lynch, the champ, the man, versus Natalya. She defeated Natalya in a submission match with the armbar to retain the title. What'd you think of the match? What do you give it? We're going to do grading. We're going to be different this time, y'all. What grade do you give it?
You know, Becky and Natalya, they're two great in-ring workers. So it's kind of hard for them to have a bad match. I mean, I've never really, like, been... Natalya's great in the ring and Becky's great in the ring, but I feel like together they just had an okay match. I wasn't expecting the greatest match ever from these two. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're capable of that, but I, you know, sometimes styles just don't, they mesh, don't get me wrong, but they don't mesh for like a class, you get what I'm saying? Like a classic match. But I feel like, you know, this match was, if I have to give it a grade, it was a solid B. You get a good SummerSlam opener, but I've seen better SummerSlam openers.
Right.
You know, and also the story with this match is always kind of weird when two baby faces go at it.
Right.
You know, Natalya was the hometown girl. I mean, it kind of made sense, but I feel as though the lead up, they tried so hard, but I just never, me personally, I never connected with this story.
You're not invested in it, right?
Fully, yeah. I was never fully invested in this story. And I feel like with Natalya, she's an all-time great, a trailblazer in the women's division. But I find myself a lot of the time when she's not a heel, I'm not really invested in her storylines. Like, Natalya is a heel, I feel like she's just better. And, you know, we said that about a lot of people, but I feel like Natalya's a better heel. But in this role, she was kind of a heel, baby thing. Like, she was kind of a tweener. You know, it was a good match, but I was never fully invested in the story. I feel like if they would have gave me a better story leading into it, it might have changed my grade. But I'm going to have to give it a solid B.
I mean, for me, I'm going to give it a – I'm not going to be rude and say a C. But I'm going to give it a B-. And I'm thinking from a total – like beginning to end with the storylines. And I said this before in our previous predictions episode about how the stories were not really built leading up to this. They were kind of like slapped together. And for me, Becky Lynch and Natalya, it's nothing that I was like, yay. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, all right, I feel like the thing that really pushed the envelope with it was when Becky was saying like, oh, Natalya, you basically, you know, you screwed me over because you're over here training Rhonda and you're supposed to be my friend, blah, 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 blah. And then you got Finley and what he did trying to show Natalya a reversal to the armbar. So I feel like that was like the most entertaining thing. Now, I will say with this feud in general that this was some of Becky's best work.
Yes, I
on
agree.
The mic. Especially since they're like kind of repackaging this man thing with 2K20 coming out and her being on the cover with Roman. So she's kind of getting that fire under her again when it comes to the man character, because you've said multiple times that she's not the same since Mania. She's cooled down a lot. So,
but guess what? I'm sorry to interrupt you. We have somebody who's going to bring the man back out. We're going to talk about that later.
I feel like that's going to happen. So we'll see what's going to happen at the next pay-per-view is going to be Clash of Champions. So we'll see what's going to happen with that. But I give this match a B-.
Yes, I got B, Lakia's got B-. What we got next?
Oh, we have Goldberg versus Dolph Ziggler. And I know I said that Dolph needed to win, but I will note that
you said
I
Dolph
also
would win.
Okay.
You said he would
no,
win.
But
you
I said
Dolph.
No, but I said he needed to win the match because he's been buried for so long over the past few weeks.
But he's Dolph. He's been buried for like the past 3-4 years.
But I will also say when you said that no, Goldberg is gonna win hands down. You said that it was gonna be a wrestling match. I told you if Goldberg wins, that is going to be a one-and-done kind of thing. He comes out, he does what he does, and he takes his ass back.
But, yeah, I was kind of right because Ziggler got his 2 super kicks in.
Yeah, okay.
That counts for something.
It does.
That counts for something.
It does.
Now, the stuff after the match was a little, in my opinion, repetitive. And, like, it was just extra. You get what I'm saying? Like, why did he have to keep on cutting? Like, what was the sense in that? You get what I'm saying?
I will say that last spear that he did when he bounced off the ropes, kind of like an alley-oop kind of thing, like that little windmill he did, you know? Like, woo! I like that one, I will say. I did like that one. But,
Dolph was really good at selling.
Dolph sold the hell out of that.
Yes.
And for that alone, I give it a D.
I'm going to be a little bit nicer than you.
Just because, like, for one, Dolph didn't win. D for Dolph, whatever you want to say, you know. I like the spears, though. You know.
I'm going to have to give it a C+. You know, this match was just, it was here. It was what it was. It was what we thought it would be. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A Goldberg win. The extracurricular stuff after the match, you know, kind of brings my grade down a little bit, but, you know.
All right, let me say this, though. I'm going to bring my grade up, one, for the simple fact that it's Goldberg, and the energy that he brings to a crowd, these lackluster-ass WWE crowds, he really brought something. You know what I'm saying? Like, he brought something. So, for that, I would bring it up a grade to a C, but this match wouldn't, this, whatever this was, it wouldn't get more than that.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a C+. I just because, like you said, the energy that Goldberg brings is unmatched.
Right.
You know, he wakes up. People complain about these old timers, but it's like they're the only ones who really, like, some of these old guys are the only ones who really get a reaction.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So, if it's, like, they're not giving us reasons to cheer for the newer guys. You get what I'm saying? The stories that they tell these days, just, I'm not a fan of it, really. I feel like WWE does a bad job of developing characters. And it's sad because this is one of the most talented rosters we've ever had. But back to the match, you know, C+, it was what it was. Dolph Ziggler's funny as hell. And I'm going to give it a C+. It was what I thought it would be. I didn't exceed my expectations, and I wasn't disappointed by it. It was what it was, a wrestling match.
And I give it a C. All right, then we had a little segment of Drake Maverick coming in with the New Day. And let me say this right now. Xavier Woods, my friend, Mr. Up, Up, Down, Down Yourself. Don't do the Stevie Wonder braids again, bro. Just don't.
Please. Please. Leave please it. Please don't. Please don't.
I like
please
you with don't. Your puff. I'm cool with that. But the beads, the cornrows, and we're going to move on from that. Moving yes, on to yes, the United it. States Championship match. AJ Styles, the champ, defeated Ricochet. Ricochet in this match did have a full-length superhero bodysuit, and it reminded me of kind of watching Johnny Gargano, because you know that they're really close friends. Gargano, Adam Cole, and Ricochet. If you didn't see their Table for Three, it's a good one. So that's what it reminded me of watching, except he just happened to have pants and sleeves. You said, Alfonso, go ahead, tell them your thoughts, because we talked about this off recordings, but your perspective on the championship match, because we've had these AJ and Ricochet bouts, so this one was like at the bottom of the list. It's kind of when you were comparing NXT to other NXT takeovers. This AJ Styles Ricochet match was kind of like that too. When you compare them to the other ones they had, it was just like, all right. Granted that AJ Styles does have his OC members, Gallows and Carl Anderson, in his corner now to just mess things up. But match for me, I give it a B.
Because I give it a B too. But I don't think I've ever seen them have a classic. Like I've watched all their matches, and I've never seen them have a match where I'm like, oh my God, these guys just stole the show. They just gave me a match that I would expect from these two. And hopefully they'll have that match one day where it's like, okay. I think it's one of those things where you hear AJ Styles, you hear Ricochet, two of the best workers in WWE. And you're like, you always expect, I feel like we expect more. Our expectations are so high. Just like you said for takeovers. It's like our expectations are so high, but we can't really just accept it for what it is. And that's a good wrestling match. You get what I'm saying?
So, yeah, we give it a B.
I'm going to give it a B minus. I wasn't very impressed. It just didn't do anything for me.
All right. Then B range. Then we had the SmackDown Women's Championship, Bayley versus Ember Moon. And I'm not going to lie, I was so disappointed.
Very, 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 very. Can I start off on this one?
Go ahead. Take the
please. Range. I was telling anybody who would listen that, you know, maybe this has a chance to be the best women's show that we see all weekend. And, like, this match just wasn't it. The Toronto crowd was shitting on Bayley. They were not fans of her at all. They were shitting on Bayley, if you heard the crowd. This match never really got going. It was a match that was just there. It felt like a bathroom break match, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And these are two of the most talented women you had. Ember's a fucking beast. Bayley is good. When you put Bayley in there with someone who can go and Bayley's motivated, Bayley is good. So, I was very disappointed. I was very, very disappointed. And I'm going to just say my grade, and then this is me done talking about it. This is going to be me done speaking of this match. I'm going to give this match a D+, because I was not impressed.
You give it a what?
At all. A D+. D+. D. D. D as in dog.
What is the plus for?
Because I like Bayley and Ember, so I'm just going to be nice and add a plus.
I'm going to give it... I got to agree with you, because I was expecting... But then again, although we were hoping... You know what? We can't say that we were expecting. We were hoping that this would be really, really good. But you know what? I'm not even going to front. I'm going to give it a C for the simple fact that I hate Bayley's finisher, but that finisher from the rope... It did something.
I don't know why you hate Bayley's finisher so much. I actually like it.
I don't. It's just like, really, you're down for the count over that. Compare, you know what? Maybe it's because I'm comparing Bayley's finisher to everybody else in the Four Horsewomen, the bank statement, the figure eight, and then the arm bar, and then you have the belly to belly.
All right. And when you look at it that way,
it's maybe that's why I have that judgment towards it. But I will say that the belly to belly off the second rope, I like that.
When you look at it that way, she definitely has the weakest finisher in the group. Yeah, I can't argue with that.
For sure. But yeah, I give it a C just because of how her finisher happened. Then we have Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon. We don't have to spend much time on this one, but let's just say that Kevin Owens defeated Shane and he kept his job. But we'll have to see how long it takes for Shane to go away. Yep.
I feel like this was everything it needed to be. It got Kevin Owens over big. You get what I'm saying? The crowd loved him. They ate up what he was doing. And I feel like it was just a good match. You get what I'm saying? Shane's not a good worker. It wasn't a good match. I'm not going to call it a good match. But even though I just did. But, you know, it was what it needed to be. Kevin Owens, you know, beating up Shane, and he beat the hell out of Elias. But that should have been the end. It seemed like the end of the story to me.
I would hope so, because then again, you think of it, this thing with Kevin Owens reminded me of the same thing he did with Roman. We thought that when Roman won, that it would be the end, and then it continued on for like another month in a pay-per-view. So who knows if they're actually really done? I'm done with it. I'm done with Shane. So
yes, agreed.
I'm ready to moving right along. What would you give the match though?
I'm gonna give it a B minus. As you guys can tell, my judging is a little bit better. Is a little bit nicer.
I'm thinking like not just the match. I'm thinking of the build up to the match. I'm thinking the storyline. So those are the factors that go into it for me. Okay, for me. But we're about to get to one of my favorite matches. I'll give the match a C+, the Shane and Kevin Owens one. But going into one of my favorite matches of the night, Charlotte Flair versus Trish Stratus.
Very excited for this one.
Charlotte,
very excited.
We had the queen. We had the queen of all eras going against the queen of queens, Trish Stratus. Charlotte Flair did win. Not surprised about that.
Yes. As we predicted.
Even though we had Toronto's own Trish Stratus. But you know what? Let me add this little tidbit in. The pop for Natalya and Trish, it was like, these are hometown people. Where's the energy?
Trish had a better pop than Natalya.
Well, yeah, she's going to get a better pop because she's Natalya's a legend too, but you get what I'm saying. Trish is retired. Yeah. But this match, Trish doing the figure eight on Charlotte, which she calls the figure six. Get it? Toronto six. It's cute. Cute, Trish. But her doing that, I was like, okay, this will be nice to see if Charlotte would tap out. But just from beginning to end, I like, they threw this storyline in later, but it was kind of one that spoke for itself. Because you have Charlotte that thinks she's better. I mean, her numbers have shown that she is the top of the women's division right now. And then you have someone like Trish, who has trailblazed so much in her career, you know, main eventing the first Raw, Monday Night Raw, as a female with Lita, the championship match they had back in the day. So, I mean, this was kind of a storyline that was, WWE didn't have to do anything. It was just Charlotte and Trish had to show up and make magic. That's all they had to do. It was already done. So to have Charlotte win, I'm not upset about it at all. It was like a passing of the torch kind of thing. They're comparing it to the female version of Rock and Hulk Hogan. Okay. So that's what they're comparing it to from WrestleMania 18, which was in Toronto as well. So Charlotte Flair versus Trish Stratus, I give it a B+.
Let me talk about this match for a second. I was a fan of this match. I really liked it. It started off kind of slow, but once they got going, And this match, you talk about matches disappointing me. This match, exceeded my expectations. That makes sense, that statement, right?
Yes.
Yes, all right, thank you. But anyway, Charlotte, Trish, you got an all-time great performer in Charlotte. Charlotte is the greatest female performer we've ever seen. She is the greatest female performer we've ever seen. And I don't think you can debate it. And we know who I love, and we're going to talk about her later. We're not saying her name until we get to her, because she deserves all of our attention. But anyway, Charlotte is the greatest performer ever. Trish was the greatest performer of her generation. And, you know, together, I feel like they had a match that really had me, thinking, is this, is Trish going to win? You get what I'm saying? Like, there was moments where I thought, are they really going to let Trish win? And I was like, it was a great match. I'm going to have to give it an A-. This is the first thing I'm giving an A to, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to give it an A-.
I feel like I keep changing my vote, but, I mean, this was an A. Compared to everything else in the show, this was an A-range match. Their chemistry was just unmatched.
Yes.
It was Charlotte, so good.
Charlotte, I feel like she's that good. Like, her chemistry with everybody is just, on 100. You get what I'm saying?
What I really appreciated about this match was that, although I believe it was Trish for the Evolution pay-per-view, that she was supposed to go against Alexa, right? But because of Alexa's concussions, that match didn't happen. So she did team up with Lita. But this is like a Trish Stratus, I'm going to push you to your limit. Not to shit on Alexa, but I am much more happy with the result of a Charlotte Flair versus Trish Stratus match than an Alexa and Trish Stratus match, which is why I really appreciate this one. Like I said, with the storyline, it was already built, done, just have the match already. So this is an A-range match. I'll give it that.
Yes.
I would definitely change it from a B+. I mean, the figure eight at the end, top to bottom, it was really good.
Yeah, really good match.
Now for a match that, you know what? While we have Trish and Charlotte with their storyline, right? We have a storyline that has been built up for 11 years with the WWE Championship match. Which, Kofi, you disappointed me, sir. Kofi Kingston. Yes.
Kofi and Randy. Kingston
versus Randy Orton. Kofi, yes, everybody is still WWE champion for it. He's still there.
And we are proud. Proud.
I'm
black
still
people.
Proud that he's there, yes. That he's champion. Yes. Yes. Okay.
We are a fair show. We are called the Half Right Podcast. And when we feel something is wrong, we're going to say it's wrong.
So it ended in a double
counter. Bring your ass here. Kofi, bring your ass here, boy.
Yes.
Because we shit to say.
Yes. So Kofi, number one. All right. I know that you don't let nobody talk crazy about your family. I know you don't want nobody getting in your family's face. But we wanted to see an end to this. And yes. I understand that they're going to drag this out, but we've been having it dragged out. You know, you had the 11 on your WrestleMania shirt and Randy.
We were there.
You know, Randy calling you stupid and they showing the package over and over and over again. Like, we get it. He did a whole thing on YouTube about the shoes that he had when he fought Randy. He still has the paint splattered New Balances. Okay, Kofi, we get it. Randy, we get it. You think that Kofi is where he is because
stupid.
Of you. Okay. This is a feud I wanted to be over at SummerSlam. I didn't want it to go long. But now, from what happened on SmackDown tonight, which we'll get to, I know. But I was disappointed. For that, I give this, because I was pissed off about how this one ended, it gets a C. Because the whole match wasn't garbage.
Yes, the match was very good, in my opinion.
But because of how everything panned out, I give it a C. And that's a grade I'm not changing, y'all. C.
I'm going to give it a C+, just because the action that led up to it, I like. You get what I'm saying? But Randy is just one of those guys. He looks like a main eventer. Like, whenever he's in a main event spot, it's like And I don't think Randy, let me just say this real quick. Randy does not get the respect, I feel like, as the legend that he is. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Randy is a freaking legend. And, you know, I just want to give respect to Randy Orton there. But
one
yeah,
of the
match,
few people that can do heel and face. Let's put
yes,
that out there.
He's a better heel, but he can play both. But we needed an end, bro. This is like the second year in a row a WWE Championship match has ended at SummerSlam in a DQ, bro. This is dude, this is arguably your second biggest pay per view of the year.
They said it was a double count out.
A double count out. Well,
it wasn't
a clean finish.
I thought it was a DQ, though, when Kofi brought out. I thought it was a DQ.
It was one of those matches, too. Like, did you not find it weird? Like, I wasn't even paying attention to the ref's count. Like, all I hear is the bell ring, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like SummerSlam is the place you go to end rivalries. Mm-hmm. It's the place you go to end rivalries.
Because then after SummerSlam, you shift to a new one. Because that's what you start building up when you get into, you know.
I would have been okay Survivor with this. Series. I just feel as though I would have been okay with this feud continuing. You get what I'm saying? I would have been okay with this feud continuing, but I feel as though Kofi should have won at SummerSlam. You could have continued this feud with Kofi winning at SummerSlam.
But maybe they didn't know how to.
It's easy. It's simple. Look at Baron Corbin. Look at Lacey Evans. That's how they continue feuds when people lose.
I'm just saying. Maybe that's in their head that the only way to really keep this going is to keep the whole thing of you never beat me angle. You know? Like you got so upset you didn't beat me. Even though Randy could have came out and said, all right, that's nice, you beat me, but I'm so better than you. Like Randy could have sold that and did something and they could have continued it. Randy could have made that work, but I give it a C. You gave it a C+.
Yes.
Moving on to The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, who beat Finn Balor. Let's just talk about Bray's new entrance. Excuse me, it's not even Bray Wyatt, it's The Fiend. That mask, I really had a hard time watching this match, guys, because I don't like clowns, and Bray had a mask on his face, and it just scares me a little bit. I'm just saying. It's
but
creepy.
This match, I'm going to say my grade before. A+, A+, A+. Just the presentation of Bray Wyatt was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's different. He's different. And if they fuck him up.
That's the thing. That's what everybody's saying. Please don't fuck this up, WWE.
Like, you've been handed something. So great. If you guys mess this up, you guys will regret it for the rest of time.
You know what I liked about this one? I like how he's using, what is it, the mandible claw as his finisher now. And I tweeted about it. I tweeted that Kevin Owens has stole the stunner, which is horrible. Seth, when he had ditched the curb stomp at first, took the pedigree. But I'm here for Bray taking the mandible claw. I'm here for it. In the match, he was going to do the Sister Abigail, but then he kind of like was like, nah, I'm going to do the mandible claw thing, which is what he had been doing weeks leading up to it. So I liked it. I really did like it. Finn, let's just note that there was a scene with Finn, AJ Styles, Luke Gallows, and Carl Anderson, and AJ was like, hey, if you need us, call us. This is the perfect time to repackage Finn Balor as a heel. We have said it before. I want to see it happen. And then we would ultimately get a Finn Balor AJ Styles feud. Come on, WWE. Giving you ideas.
Yep. Yes.
Giving you ideas. Literally just handing it to you for free. Because it's going to come down to who's the real leader of the OC. Where does Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson stand? Do they stand behind AJ or do they stand behind Finn?
Behind Finn.
Where they gonna go? So I think that and that's something that they could really like drag out, and it'd be cool to see something with the OC and the Undisputed Era. Maybe I'm just jumping ahead, but I'm just saying, see. It would be really nice to see. So this is a good time to repackage Finn Balor. Bray Wyatt's entrance. I love the remix that they did with it, top to bottom. Yes, I mean, this one, it gets an A because they did something right. They did something right with Bray Wyatt. You know, they've repackaged him before when they brought him back in and had him team with Matt Hardy. But this one is like so in his element. They let him still be his creepy self, but it's the let me in this fun house. It's okay, Bray.
Yo, you got it.
Now we're at the last match, y'all, which I'm actually impressed with. The Universal Championship match. Brock Lesnar was beat by Seth Rollins. And I didn't think that it was going to happen. I thought Brock was going to hold the title hostage. I am shocked. And Seth beat him clean. He beat him clean. I give this match, my heart is telling me to give it an A because Seth Rollins really did the damn thing in the ring, okay? He really countered. Although when Brock Lesnar was doing the suplex, I feel like he overthrew Seth so that Seth would land on his feet, very cat-like. I watched that back a few times. But I give this an A for the simple fact that Brock Lesnar isn't champion anymore. Seth Rollins beat him clean. And unfortunately, the show ended far before it should have ended.
I was happy. I was okay with this. Sometimes WWE pay-per-views go on far too long.
I don't know. Maybe it's just that 11 o'clock thing that I'm just used to. NXT is timed to a T. Like, timed to a T.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
It's 9:59.
Agreed.
Ending. Let's go. We're done. Like, time to a T. Then you have W, like, you're starting at 7 o'clock. Okay. It's like, for all that, you could have just left it in that window of, you know, but I know it's the big, all the pay-per-views 4 hours now. Am I mistaken?
Yes.
They're all four hours, right?
They're four, and then the big ones are supposed to go five.
The big ones are what? The big ones are four.
The big ones are five.
WrestleMania is longer than anything else, but I'm talking about 7 to 11.
SummerSlam, yes, SummerSlam, I believe, had an end time of 12. Look at the pre-show. The pre-shows for the big shows are longer. They start an hour earlier.
Okay, SummerSlam was 3.5 hours, but let's go back to the other, what was the pay-per-view before this? Let's see what the pay-per-view before this was. What was it, Extreme Rules? No, they're all the same. They're all the same.
Which time did the pre-show for Extreme Rules start?
The pre-show for Extreme Rules? I don't know.
Exactly. Extreme Rules, SummerSlam, I believe, was
They all start at, I don't know.
The SummerSlam, the regular pre-shows are an hour compared to the big four, big five.
You're talking about the length of the pre, okay, I get what you're saying. Okay. Yeah, Extreme Rules was almost 4 hours. Extreme Rules was longer than SummerSlam. Money in the Bank.
That's a surprise.
Extreme Rules was 3 hours and 48 minutes versus SummerSlam being 3 hours and 27 minutes. So, yeah. The next pay-per-view that we... What did you give this match? I'm sorry.
I'm a solid A. A solid A.
It was second so highest, good.
My second highest grade on the show. It's crazy because we came into this match, you know, talking about Seth Rollins and, you know, how stale I feel as though he had become. And we left it with, like, just this new appreciation for how great he truly is as a performer. Right. And we never doubted that he was great. We just doubted that, you know, the writing for him was great. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, it was a great match. The spot on the table. And I just want to talk about Brock for a second. When Brock wants to go and Brock wants to decide he wants to be a professional wrestler and Brock decides to show up, mm-hmm. Brock is damn good at what he does, bro. He's really good. He's one of the best big men in the business. And, you know, I just want to give respect where it's due to him because, you know,
Because Brock Lesnar is agile in the ring. It's just like, he just hasn't been given as much because he hasn't really been wanting to fight lately. Yes. It's just a more of a demolish kind of thing.
Yes.
But I was going into this match expecting complete annihilation, and Seth Rollins changed my heart, and he took the title back. So, solid A for sure.
Yes.
And that wraps it up for our SummerSlam review.
We're not done. We're not done. We got like 15, 20 more minutes.
There's something that happened after that, and I feel like it's okay to move into Monday Night Raw now.
Yes.
Is it okay to move into Monday Night Raw? Because
Can I say it, please?
Are we talking about anything else that happened on Monday Night Raw? Because I don't think that it matters.
I just want to talk about the most important thing that happened on Monday Night Raw. It is boss time. Mm. It's boss time. Mm. It's boss time. The boss is back. All you people who slandered her, talked down on her name, she is back. She is back. She is back. She is back. The boss is back. It's boss time once again. Sasha Banks is back where she belongs. And she's a heel. And she's doing the damn thing. I just had to get that off my chest, Lakia. You can speak now. Thank you for letting me get that off my chest.
We told y'all when Sasha came back that there was going to be a lot of energy on the show. We said we'd do a whole show dedicated to her. It's going to come eventually.
Yeah, it's going to come. It's going to come. We've been doing Sasha's greatest hits. Like my love for Sasha runs deep. And y'all know that.
When I tell y'all there is hate on our Instagram for Sasha Banks, oh my God. It is so much hate. So much hate. Someone by the name of Manny Blue 4, yes, I'm saying your Instagram name, they commented 3 times, she should not be back. I would rather Ronda Rousey return. She thinks she deserves a title shot. And she has every right to think she deserves a title shot. You know what Sasha has done to this women's division?
What's his name?
Manny Blue 4.
Manny Blue 4, kiss my black ass. All right, we can continue now. Fuck Manny Blue 4. He hating.
And then there's someone that is commenting.
Hold up. Is Manny Blue 4, is he white or black?
White.
Oh, exactly. Explains everything.
And then Alfie, there's someone named Alfie Male 13. Well, Alfie Male 1 is there. Alfie.Male 1. And when Manny Blue says she doesn't deserve shit, they commented, well, if she wanted shit, she would go to her dog. What an amazing clapback you had.
Thank you. What's his name?
Manny Blue 4. So for Manny Blue 4, I'm going to go in live right now and tell him she should not be back. My response to that is, oh, well, she is, with a laughing face. And then she thinks she deserves a title shot. She damn sure does. Damn sure does. Continue to be mad. And then as far as the Ronda Rousey comment, I mean, now we good. I don't need Ronda to come back. Ronda coming back is not the same energy as Sasha turning heel. It's not. Unless Ronda was coming back as a heel. Yeah.
It's not, but y'all know how I feel about my baby, Ronda Rousey. I love her too. So.
But Sasha Banks, for those that didn't see it, go to YouTube, go to Twitter. It's everywhere. Sasha Banks came out when Natalya was talking about her father. Rest in peace to Jim the Anvil Neidhart. It's been a year since his passing. So Natalya was talking about that. Then all of a sudden we hear this music. And I'm sitting in my bed staring at the screen and I'm like, no fucking way. I'm thinking this is some Dolph Ziggler troll type shit. Okay? But no, it's Sasha and she has the purple wig. And I just told Alfonso about a week ago, I said, Sasha's coming back. She got the purple wig back. She's coming. Okay? So she gets to the ring. She hugs Natty. She says, I love you. Your dad loves you. He'd be so proud of you. Then she goes to get a mic and she punched the shit out of Natalya. She snatches the wig off. Now she got the blue hair. And then she takes her jacket off and she starts wailing on Natalya. I mean, Natalya gets slammed into the ring post. She gets her ass whooped. Then here comes Becky ooh, I'm Becky the Man. Oh, you want to go? You really want to go after me? Let's go. Sasha was with the shits. Sasha starts whooping her ass with a chair and then walked away like nothing happened. So it's time for the games to begin, everybody. Sasha Banks is officially back. Becky Lynch has real competition in the women's division. Because honestly, if there's anybody that could take the title off of Becky, it's Sasha.
It's boss time.
It's Sasha. So for all the haters, keep that same energy because y'all are all about to be rooting for her. So keep that same energy, okay? I flooded our whole entire Twitter. If you guys are not following us on Twitter, you should, you know, give us a like, give us a follow, tweet us at @halfright_pod. Just a little plug there. But seriously, Sasha coming back, there was nothing more important on Raw. There was nothing more important. I will note this. As for if anybody else cares what happened on Raw, Drew McIntyre and Cedric Alexander, their beef is still going on. Andrade and Rey Mysterio, the 2 out of 3 falls match. I'm sick of them fighting each other. Ricochet beat Elias. Elias is kind of sloppy in the ring these days. The Miz defeated Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler, as we already talked about, is going to continue to get buried. And then Samoa Joe defeated Sami Zayn. And based on the whole Samoa Joe Roman Reigns thing, which we're going to get to when we talk about SmackDown, Samoa Joe is having a face turn from being a heel. So stay tuned for that. But most importantly, other than Sasha, we have a King of the Ring tournament coming, which should be interesting. Are you excited for King of the Ring?
I am, but I think this tournament was like designed for like Drew to win it. Like,
but it's about damn time. What else is he doing?
Yeah, okay. I'm okay with that. You get what I'm saying? I'm excited. So let's see
who is in the tournament to begin with, because it's both Raw and SmackDown guys. Now, are they doing this tournament solely on Raw, or is it also going on SmackDown? Like, what are they doing? Okay, so the superstars entering in this: Cedric Alexander, Sami Zayn, Drew McIntyre, Ricochet. Who is this? Oh my, Cesaro. I don't know. He was standing next to Baron Corbin. The ball heads threw me off. Baron Corbin, Samoa Joe, and The Miz. Those are all Raw guys. And then from SmackDown, we have Kevin Owens, Chad Gable, Shelton Benjamin, Apollo Crews, Ali, Andrade, Elias, and Buddy Murphy. So, I think the only person that really should win this is Drew McIntyre. But I could also see Baron Corbin winning as well.
I hope not.
I hope not, but he also just has, like, you know, this is something that he'd add to his accolades, his imaginary accolades that he has. And then this is not something that I see Andrade winning. Those are the only two people that
even really stand although out to me. although I feel like it would help mine. There's a lot of I'm really happy that they're doing this because I feel as though it gives a lot of people things to do. You get what I'm saying?
True. It's kind of going to give matches that we haven't seen. We haven't seen Shelton Benjamin in a while. We haven't seen Chad Gable in a while. Buddy Murphy has been getting his ass kicked over on SmackDown. The Miz, he's been talking his shit per usual. Everybody else, I mean, Cedric Alexander, I'm glad he's getting some shine outside of the cruiserweight division. Ricochet, yeah. I'm happy to see him a part of it. So there's a lot of good matches inside of here. I just want to see if they're going to do big guy and small guy, because, you know, you have big guys in Drew McIntyre, Samoa Joe. Kevin Owens is a big guy. Literally, Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens are big guys. Literally,
I like their match tonight. I was a fan of it.
But yeah, I'm interested in seeing how this is gonna go. And best of luck to whoever wins. Oh, what else happened on? Oh, the 24/7 championship. Elias is champion right now, I think. Oh, yeah, and yeah, as far as the women's tag team championship match, I said we would get to it. Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross defeated the Kabuki Warriors. I can't take them seriously, Asuka and Kairi Sane, because number one, they still have this Ahoy music and they're called the Kabuki Warriors. And if you guys don't know, a Kabuki is also a type of a makeup brush. So I can't take them seriously for that. But I also don't like what they're doing with Asuka. Like, Asuka was the undefeated champ in NXT. Over to WWE main roster, okay? Because I separate WWE and NXT. Those are two different entities to me.
Yes, yes. I agree.
So Asuka has been shitted on. Not to say that Kairi Sane isn't great in the ring, because she is. But I honestly, down the line, I can't wait for Io Shirai to have something with Asuka. Because to me...
Yeah, so you know what? Even Kairi Sane, like, you know what? This is kind of off topic. And, you know, I always get mad about going off topic. But
we've been good.
We've been good. We've been very good, guys. We've really tried to make our structure of our show better. You guys got to bear with us. We're young and we're still learning. We're new to this, but we're going to be great at it. You feel me? So just keep listening. But anyway, I feel like, you know how there's been rumors of NXT going to FS1 and possibly going 2 hours on Wednesdays to battle AEW.
But hold on, everybody. Not to cut you off, but the biggest downer about them going to FS1 is the fact that Vince would have his hands in it. Continue.
We don't need Vince's we don't need Vince's hands anywhere near NXT.
Please, God, no.
Please, please, please.
Triple H could put together a 3-hour pay-per-view, he is more than capable of putting together a 2-hour show once a week.
Yes, more than capable.
By himself.
I agree.
Vince, you're struggling to put together a 3-hour and a 2-hour SmackDown show. You have 5 hours of wrestling already. We don't need you, okay? We don't need you to destroy what is NXT and what Triple H has worked so hard to build. I think that Triple H, when it comes to the main roster stuff, that he kind of falls back a little bit. He's protective over his NXT people. But I don't think that he's going to go down without a fight of letting Vince touch NXT. I don't think so. Especially with AEW coming this fall? I don't think so. AEW, I think they're debuting in October, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so. Yes, yes, yes.
I believe it's October. Yeah, AEW on TNT. When are they coming? Let's see. I don't know. October 2nd, 2019 is when they will be on TNT. It's a Wednesday. So we'll see how that goes. We'll be tuning in. We're gonna give it a go and see how it goes. And we'll give you guys our thoughts on it. We can't really compare it to something like WWE, but we damn sure can compare it to NXT.
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna give AEW a shot, man. I like some of the, you know, Moxley's over there, formerly known as Dean Ambrose, and I'm a big fan. We're big fans of Dean, so you know, I'm gonna tune in. I've always heard about, you know, the legend of Kenny Omega, and you know, I've never really seen a lot of his matches. Right. You know, I make it like, but I'm like a WWE guy, and that's no disrespect to other wrestlers because, you know, they're great, but I feel like WWE is just, it's there for us. It's easy to see. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I like to just turn on the WWE network and turn on TV, and I feel like I'm looking forward to truly seeing how great Kenny Omega is, because I've heard for the past 2 years, he's the best wrestler in the world. Like, and I'm anxious to see. You get what I'm saying? I'm excited to see that. And you know, that's enough on AEW. But what did you think of SmackDown tonight? Since it's currently Wednesday, we're on the East Coast. It's 1:45. What did you like SmackDown tonight?
SmackDown. I saw some of SmackDown. I saw what mattered on SmackDown. As far as like match wise, we had Charlotte defeat Ember in a submission, and then the main event of the night was the Revival versus Randy. The Revival and Randy Orton. Excuse me. Versus the New Day, and being that the New Day are tag team champions and Kofi's WWE champion, I see this moving over to Clash of Champions with the New Day going against the Revival and Randy and Kofi having another bout there. So I see that happening. Shane McMahon is still bothering Kevin Owens, so everything that we just talked about with SummerSlam, it's not ending. He fined him $100,000. Because Elias was a WWE official at the time during the match, and Kevin Owens put his hands on Elias. So he got charged $100,000. So, I mean, he's just doing stupid stuff now. Samoa Joe did end up beating Kevin Owens via pinfall. But like I said, Samoa Joe is about to be turning face. And this King of the Ring would actually be a good thing. If not Drew McIntyre getting it, it would be a great thing for Samoa Joe, too. I would like to see Samoa Joe.
Yeah, I feel like Samoa Joe could definitely use it. Definitely.
Yeah. And then we have the running story of wrestling at the moment, aside from the boss being back. Roman Reigns, someone's trying to kill him, attack him, end his career.
Yes. Yes.
So this is
if a non-wrestling fan walked into the room and saw this Roman Reigns shit, it's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I'm embarrassed. Like, you literally have to turn the TV off. Like, somebody would walk in the room and say, what the fuck are you watching? Like, are you really, like, did he just, like, some shit in wrestling? But I like the Roman story. I like how it's kind of like a slow burn.
Apparently on SmackDown tonight, you know what? WWE, we know, is sports entertainment and it's a soap opera, but this Roman thing is really giving me soap opera
vibes. This is real
soap opera vibes. Yo, Lakia, you have to tune in to know what's going to happen and who's going to come out next week.
I think it's decent TV, if you ask me.
It's actually not bad. And I think that because we have Daniel Bryan, who does such great promos, it's helping. Daniel Bryan being a part of the mix is really, really helping. Because you know Roman is not going to talk. Buddy Murphy also gets play inside of here. And Roman actually posted about Buddy Murphy. And I wonder if this is like something cryptic or whatever, if it has to do with this at all. He said, meant every word I said about WWE Murphy in the ring. He said he wanted to fight and he got one. Tonight was my night, but I'm sure it won't be the last I'll stand across from you. So now I'm wondering what's going to happen with that. He doesn't really, you know, talk about his matches like that.
Roman was great tonight. And that Murphy match was incredible. Murphy is one of the best WWE has to offer. And this is what, like, Roman, like, if you look at past superstars, Roman is one of the most giving superstars, I think, the business that Roman doesn't care about going out there and losing. Care about going out there and making somebody look good. Roman wasn't on SummerSlam. He wasn't on SummerSlam, and you don't. I think he genuinely did not bitch or cry. Did he want to be on SummerSlam? I get he did. You know, he probably really wanted to be on SummerSlam. But Roman is really like a locker room leader, and I feel like this is what, like, because Roman, if people may dislike it and all that, but Roman, he's in that echelon with the Cenas. And The Rock, you get what I'm saying?
He's
that next. He's who the, like, I'm watching wrestling tonight with my little sister, and I say, you know, Roman Reigns. I say that's The Rock's fake cousin. The sound was off. She couldn't hear the TV. She's like, oh, who, Roman Reigns? And people know who Roman Reigns is. Like,
well, she also knows who Roman Reigns is because I'm obsessed.
Yeah, but people know. Who Roman Reigns? See, I didn't know that, but people know who Roman Reigns is.
You said that's The Rock's fake cousin.
Yes, that is The Rock's fake cousin.
They're not fake cousins. They're cousins.
I heard they're not blood related. All Hawaiians claim they cousins. Ohana.
No, and okay. The thing is with Roman, right? Okay, it's kind of like when they're cousins by marriage. Think of it that way. That's the easiest way to explain it. They're cousins.
I got cousins by marriage. I don't jack them motherfuckers.
They're cousins. Now, the Usos and Roman, they're actually cousins.
Yeah, the Usos and
Rikishi and Roman are first cousins, but Roman just happens to grow up with the Usos. So they're actually cousins. And when you throw Nia into the mix, Nia is also like to The Rock by like marriage, but for them, it's all family. So
yeah, family is family.
They're cousins, 100%. Okay. So I like it. I agree with you. I do like it. I'm glad to see Buddy Murphy doing something. Because before we just saw him sitting backstage, just biding his time. So apparently it was not Rowan that did it, and we have to wait until next week. So we don't know who knocked over the thing from the little trailer truck, or who hit Roman's car
Lakia, I have a question for you. Who do you think it is?
I honestly don't know. I'm literally sitting here racking my brains, and a part of my mind is like, are they going to do some fuck shit and do when Rikishi did it to The Rock? And, well, like when Rikishi was like, I did it for The Rock kind of thing. So I hope that it's not a familial relative. I hope that it's not.
Imagine if it's the fucking Usos.
But that's like that's what I don't want to happen, especially because we haven't seen the Usos in a very long time. And it was like a joke. It was like a joke on Twitter, because when they hit the truck, they were like, damn, the Usos are at it again. Because, you know, they like to drink and drive. Damn, Usos, yes. Get it together, yes. Us. But yes. I will say that I honestly don't know. And that's what makes this even more entertaining, is that it could be anybody. It could be anybody.
It can, 100%. That's what makes it so. Yeah, that is what makes it so.
But the real kicker, and what's really gonna like seal this together, is what was your reason? Because that has to be good. Now, you've like, when Roman almost had the thing fall on him, that was one thing. But the car thing, it's like, all right, now, okay. Nothing else has happened to him since then. So I wonder if they're just gonna, you know, do a third one just to do a third one, or what's gonna happen with that. But I'm interested. I'm invested in the story.
Yes, me as well, definitely.
And I like that they're not... They did the whole thing with Samoa Joe and Raw when Roman came on there. But they also did that because Samoa Joe is a Raw... He's a Raw superstar, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
So
yes,
I like how they're keeping this on SmackDown. I like that I didn't find out anything last night on Raw.
Yes, because we don't need... Yeah, you're 100% right. We don't need to see this on Raw. This is a SmackDown superstar. The story needs to develop on
SmackDown. Now, them saying what happened in case you missed it kind of thing,
yes,
which is like,
no, yes,
the recap, okay,
yeah,
we understand that they do stuff like that. But this is, like you said, it's something that should continue to be developed on SmackDown.
SmackDown, because like SmackDown, it needs to feel like, and I feel like in these past couple weeks, I've really enjoyed SmackDown. It's kind of got back to feeling like its own show.
Right.
You know, we still have shakeups. You know, we still have the wild card rule and shit, the dumbass wild card rule. I'm not a fan of. Lakia, you're not a fan of.
No.
But, you know, I feel as though, like, SmackDown feels like SmackDown again. Like, it feels like it's its own show. And that's something that is really, really good. And Roman's a star. And Roman being on SmackDown makes it more must-see. You get what I'm saying? Roman being on SmackDown, he really is that star that elevates it. Because Roman, in my opinion, is the top star in the company. And it's kind of hard to argue that right now, because they'll say, oh, well, he was left off of SummerSlam. Maybe it's Seth. But Roman is the guy. I feel like
they're
just...
But the thing is that to be left off of SummerSlam does not make you a not top guy. You know what I'm saying? Like
Roman has main evented how many WrestleManias? 31, 32, 33, 34. Roman's main evented.
Roman is the definition of best for business. Whatever you want to do with Roman, he will do.
He'll put anybody over. Roman is a company guy, and
exactly.
You know,
that's just who he is. Like, if it's going to better the product and better the end result, not saying that he agrees with everything, but he's more than likely to do it.
Yes,
and Roman,
agreed.
We also have to come to terms with, Roman's not going to be wrestling forever. Okay, guys? He's going to segue out soon. He's about to pull a Batista. Okay?
I think Roman loves wrestling a little bit more than Batista does.
But I'm saying, the route that Batista, John Cena, The Rock, the movie route, he's already done a TV show, a little episode. He had a little pop-up there. He's already done the whole movie thing with The Rock, his little pop-up there. So it would definitely be an action kind of thing, because that's the kind of role. Even though Batista now, the Marvel movie actually showed a different side of Batista's acting skills, just FYI. But The Rock he's a typecasted, you know what I'm saying? It's always action that he's in. He's an action movie star. You may get a little bit of comedy, but with the comedy, there's also action.
You want to hear something really funny, guys?
What?
So, I'm watching wrestling tonight in the kitchen, and my little sister, I'm like, yeah, that, you know, The Rock, yeah, when he used to wrestle. She says, The Rock used to wrestle?
Okay, but Shakira was born in like 2004. So
but
like...
it's so funny that there are people who walk this earth, you know,
that don't and know that just, The Rock is
as a wrestling fan. I'm like, you don't know The Rock. How do you think he got his name? That's why they call him The Rock. Like, The Rock used to wrestle. What? Like, but The Rock is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. That The Rock used to wrestle. What? I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe she asked me if The Rock used to wrestle. I was like dumbfounded. Like, did she really just ask me if
The
Rock used to wrestle?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no freaking way. She just asked me if The Rock used to wrestle. And I'm like,
I've never heard that before. Like, I never heard that from her before. That's interesting. That's funny because.
So all in all, what did you think of, you know, these past couple of days of wrestling?
I'm back in.
I'm back in too.
I'm fully invested now. Like, I want to see what's gonna happen. Like, Monday Night Raw usually rolls around and I watch it. I watch it, one, because I do live tweets over on our Twitter @halfright_pod. I do live tweeting specifically for Monday Night Raw. SmackDown, it depends. But like, this whole thing with Roman makes me want to tune into SmackDown. The King of the Ring makes me want to tune into both. And Sasha Banks, but Sasha, hello? Sasha Banks, she's back. Don't y'all want to see what's going to happen? No? Nobody wants to know? Let the games begin. It's a good time to be a wrestling fan. It's a good time.
It definitely is. Definitely
is. It's a good time. So welcome back, Sasha.
Sasha, I love you. You know how I feel about you. And everybody know how I feel about Sasha Banks. She is God's gift to this earth.
Oh my God.
Sasha.
You sound like Corey Graves when he's talking about Mandy Rose.
Shit, I love Mandy too. Sasha, you make my world a better place.
Oh my
God. You being back in WWE has made my world a better place. I woke up this morning happier. I'm at work today and I'm smiling. And I'm like, why am I smiling so hard? And I remembered, it's because Sasha Banks is back in WWE where she belongs, doing what she was made to do. And her and Becky are going to set. This feud is going to be amazing.
But you know what? I'm happy she's feuding with Becky and not Bayley.
Yes, yes, me too. The Bayley feud should happen down the road.
It can wait.
It can wait, yes.
But definitely. That wraps it up for this episode, y'all.
Yep. So yeah, we've given you guys two episodes. We're going to be more consistent. So we're going to drop another. We're going to drop some more content probably next week. We may even come back this week. Who knows? If a big story breaks, if we have anything we want to talk about, we might come back again.
But we'll definitely be back. When is Clash of Champions happening? When is Clash of Champions?
I'm thinking we'll be back next week.
No, with everything that's happening. But Clash of Champions is not until September 15th. We'll definitely be back before then.
We'll be back way before then. We're gonna try to hit you guys with a weekly episode.
But yeah, it's actually now, because we did a whole episode on how we were tuned out of WWE. That was actually what episode was that? That was back in May, which was fresh off of WrestleMania, how we were tuned out. But also, there comes a time in wrestling where things cool down, you know, it's not fire all year long.
Yes,
that happens with any good thing. We'll say that. But I'm tuned back in for a number
of
reasons. So because of that, talking about Raw and SmackDown going forward will be shows that you want to tune into, especially with King of the Ring and everything. So stay tuned.
Yes. Yeah.
Stay tuned. So
we out of here.
That wraps it up for another episode of the Half Right Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @halfright_pod and Instagram @thehalfrightpodcast. Feel free to share with a friend and subscribe. Until next time, thanks for tuning in.